Thank you for listening to the Well podcast. I am so thankful for you and grateful that you are a part of our church community. I want to just encourage you, if you are a faithful podcast listener, this message today, talking about at the table, is very visual. And so though you're welcome to continue to listen on the podcast, I want to encourage you to check out our YouTube page. You can just search the Well Foursquare Church to watch the message. That way you get the whole visual effect to this week's teaching. Again, thankful for you. You are loved and grateful for all the things that God is doing in your life.
Welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Our services are at 9 and 11 a.m. in Artesia, California. You can find out more about us by going online and visiting us at gotothewell.church and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are loved.
So last week we began a message called Adventure into the Mission. And I brought you this verses, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. Now the first thing to understand is witnesses of Jesus, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's so important that we understand that being empowered by the Holy Spirit does not mean some mystical thing is going to come in and you're going to start glowing or having glitter or something like that. Sometimes it's just the most practical courage that you didn't know that you could have. That there will be divine appointments that come before you that you had no idea how God would be able to orchestrate such things. But we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We recognize when we are sent into mission, that mission is not just over there. Mission is not missions. It's not having to go to Africa or having to go to China or having to go to these foreign countries and be a missionary. That is very important. We'll talk about that. But first and foremost, mission's not just out there. It's right here. Right where you are is a mission that God has said, go into all the world. You first got to get to your world. Understand when you're reading these scriptures that Jesus himself never left Israel. He didn't go into the world, but he developed a system and a program and a source of discipleship where it has changed the landscape of the world. So you have to start where you're at because you are, remember this, you are wanted, right? You are gifted. And you are called. You are called. Last week, I gave out a little workbook, and we have one for this week, too, right underneath Aaron. There you go. So if you want one, it's like additional note-taking, some little homework if you want. If you want, just raise your hand. Beautiful Aaron's going to come by and make sure you get one. Those are just fun if you like homework. To go a little bit deeper into the message, go deeper into the scriptures, because we can't cover everything within the 25, 30-minute, 50-minute sometimes messages that we may do. But the first place that the writer in Mark tells us to do is go into Jerusalem. Now, this does not mean that you all need to go book a flight to go to Jerusalem and start being a missionary in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, when that was spoken, it was their exact local community. These were their people. This was first spoken to Jewish believers. And so when it says going to Jerusalem, it says the mission starts in your home with your people. In your context. Now, we understand that some of you, when I talk about mission being your home, I know we have people in this room, you know, you grew up in church or you grew up in some sort of, maybe you were the one who were in church and your kids were following you everywhere. That perhaps that, you know, that your parents were the pastors or your parents were the leaders, your parents were serving relentlessly in church. And you say that the moment they got home, they were different people. And maybe you weren't even the pastors. Maybe you went to church and you were all friendly during Sunday service, shaking hands, high fives, loving people. You get in the car and you're dropping every F-bomb you can think of. And start yelling at your kids and just watching TV and ignoring them while they're doing their own thing. And so you wonder why there's a disconnect between mission at home and what we see at church. Because what's the point? And one of the even philosophies with us in designing and purposely trying to craft this church is that it's why we don't have a ton of events that happen all year long. Because how can you be on mission in your home if you're always at the church? The greatest mission field is your home. Your children or your whoever lives with you, whatever that context is, we understand that it is in your home that is, let's make sure that the spiritual and emotional and physical health begins where you're at. It is not the school's job, it's not the church's job, it's not the government's job, it's not society's job. Whatever you value at home and what you practice at home will ultimately be what they hold on to. Whether they'll hold on to it or reject it based off the hypocrisy in between. And I don't say that in a condemning way. I say that in a way just because I know that from my own life. And oftentimes our life is so busy trying to do all the important things, we do nothing that's important. And so we keep going and going, and in our effort to do everything, we neglect the most important things, including our home and our own family. Our mission begins at home with your people. Your family is your first mission field and your first disciples. Now, you're going to go, after I say this next statement, you're going to go, can't we just go back in the taboo and talk about sex? That was so much easier. You know, like, can't we just go, like, talk about doubt and, like these other things? But have you ever had someone, like, I know this is a sensitive subject, but have you ever been, someone robbed your house? Okay. Do you know that feeling where it feels like someone just walked in your living room and you feel kind of creepy? Okay, you might get that feeling right now. Because my goal is to get past your front door and into your living room right now. My goal is to get into your dining room right now. Okay? Ready? Just go back to the taboo, right? We're good. Let's talk about them, not me. Now, we understand that there are certain places that are appropriate for certain rooms and certain things. And so the most important furniture in your house, there's two most important pieces of furniture in your house. If you're married, the most important furniture in your bedroom is your bed. That is a place of intimacy. That is a place of communication. That is a place of rest. But the most important piece of furniture in your house, whether you have an apartment or a mansion, is your dinner table. Now, some of you go, no, it's my recliner. No. And if that's what you just said, listen up. So I'm gonna have, can you help me out here? We're gonna grab just the table for now. Got it? Oh, you're so much stronger than I am. Okay. Thank you, Nina. Appreciate it. Yay! Sorry, I talking about softball. I made it like a decent play the other night, and I first thing all I want to do is go up to Aaron. Did you see that? Right? The table is the most universal, cross-cultural, and historical gathering place for families, friends, and community. And can I tell you right now, firsthand, get the TV away from your table. If the TV is at its place where you can see the table, I mean, if you're at the table and you can see the TV, everything will be wiped away. Okay? Step two, get rid of your phone. Phone is a TV. Get it off your phone. I've seen the fight right now happening. We got to get any device. If you want this to become an effective place of ministry in your home, get rid of any device that's going to keep you from being in community with other people. So Aaron kind of shared this passage, but I'm going to share it again in Acts 2:42. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. We have an opportunity to make the kitchen table an altar to the Lord. And this is why it's different than the recliner. Because you can invite more people to the table than to your recliner. I told you I'm going to step down a little toes here. More community happens when the TV is off and the phones are put away. Having you realize that being home always reveals the truth? See, when you're home, that's where you take your pants off. I don't know about you. First thing you walk in the door, sweatpant time, right? You know, like, no more. You don't need belts in this house. But when talking about and following Jesus, and even these practices I'm going to talk about today, is you have to decide, is following Jesus optional or essential for you? Is it optional or essential? Because for the most part, I'm going to bring up this basket. For the most part, if we're honest with ourselves, okay? Actually, you know, can I have one chair over here? That'd be great. If we are honest with ourselves, we've got stuff on our table. Am I right? Let me know if this gets close to it looking like your house. Pants off. I don't know what it is, but if you have kids, there's always a stack of papers. And napkins. Always. And I don't know how, but you have mismatching socks always. Right? You have, that's an essential part of your home. And toys. Oh my gosh, so many toys. Your table's messy. Too close to home yet? For the most part, if we were to get home, this is what it says. It reveals the truth of our life. If you want to see the state of your life, look at your dining room table. Just saying. But if we understand that God has called us into a mission into our home, He's given us tools and He's given us an altar of ministry. And Larry, the first thing you've got to do is you've just got to pick up. Now, don't do this. I get in trouble for this all the time. It's clean. No, it's just picked up and moved. Okay? But with every altar, you got to anoint it with the thieves' essential oil. So you got to spray that down. You got to clean this off. That just looks cool in the light. So I'm just going to keep doing it. But you actually have to do some cleaning. This is what repentance is called. This is what's understanding, hey, if I want to see something different in my home, I actually have to get up and do something different than what I used to do. And so now the kitchen table becomes not just a place where you store stuff. It becomes a place where ministry can happen. Can you imagine in your home if you had a place set aside specifically, not just, again, put stuff down, but that, man, God is going to do a powerful things at this table. So number one, you have to do this. Write this down. Devote yourself to God's word. Every table in your home, specifically the dining room table, could be a place where you open God's word to have an encounter with Jesus. It takes a reading plan, a life journal, and a Bible to have more of an encounter with Jesus than you could have done at any kind of retreat. When you decide to sit at His feet and pursue Jesus personally at a place that you know is dedicated unto Him. I gave you a card in all of your bulletins. It's kind of messy, but there's Spotify on the one side and Spotify and YouTube on the other. If you have a smartphone, just open up your camera, scan the little QR code, and it'll take you to a link or take you to a playlist. And what's awesome when you decide to make this place a place of worship, a place where you can learn more of who God is. Purposely, if it's playing worship music that we play here on Sundays, or, man, I can't tell you how powerful even the Ride to School can be when you have the Kids Life playlist playing songs that they're learning in Kids Life right now. Yep. When they're singing at the top of my lungs instead of some other junk. Because you're creating each place in your home and a place where you're encountering God to be a place where God can do incredible things. And this is why it's even to be part of a corporate participation, even within church. You guys are already here, so you know this. But next Sunday morning gets harder, right? Is that when you're able to not just devote yourself to God's word and your own opinion and your own thoughts, but you're willing to submit yourself to the apostles' teaching. Now, I'm not calling myself an apostle in any way, shape, or form, but it is the teaching of God's word. Are you devoting yourself to God's word? Are you building healthy community with others around his word? And this is again and again that this can become an altar to God as you continue to pursue the encounter of loving him. Sometimes it just takes cleaning off all your junk and saying, Lord, this is between you and I. Number two, you ready for more? Devote yourself to practice hospitality. Devote yourself to practice hospitality. You know, you're doing a lot today. Can you go ahead and grab two chairs for me? And then if you could actually join me, that'd be awesome. And perfect, I'll grab this one. Yeah, sit down with me. Right? Tyler, come on up. And this time you won't be asked to take your shirt off. You guys get to be part of the message. And this is why. The table is meant to have more than one person at it. Again, this is why your recliner doesn't work. And you all know what happens when you try to get more than one person on a recliner, right? It's fun when you're a kid, it topples over. But when you're 40, you can't get up. So don't do that. So what happens as adults, we're not in a place where we can really, we don't go to school and have friends around us all the time. Like, we don't have that where we are forced into a classroom, you're forced in group projects. For the most part, if you go to work, you know, maybe you have friends at work, but sometimes you just want to leave them at work. But as adults, it's hard to create friendships. We don't have that natural place to create that. But this is where God has created his church community, where all sorts of people of different walks of life can come and sit at the same table. That's the power of communion. At the same time, you have Peter, who was a loudmouth and devoted to Jesus. You had Judas, who betrayed him. They both sat at the same table. The table is meant to be a place where community happens. But how many of us now, like, back, and there's this old comedy bit. I was going to show it, but it had some language in it, so I decided not to. But there's a great comedy bit. You can find it on YouTube. But you know what happens, you know, like 20 years ago, people came to the door? Like, you were excited. Like, families would greet the person at the door and say, welcome, come on in, I'm so glad you came. The company is over, right? But now what happens when the doorbell rings? Hit the deck. Check the video camera. Guys, quiet, turn off the lights. Shh. Don't go to the door. Am I right? It's scary. We're terrified. And what happens, because now we live there, we go, oh, that's just ha-ha, that's funny. But now we live in a spirit of fear. Right. But did God give us a spirit of fear? And so what happens, because we're afraid of all the murderers that are going to come through our door, we don't even invite the people we do know over. Because you never know. And so what happens is we are isolated in our homes. We live in the most beautiful state, weather-wise. We don't have snow and sleet, yet we stay inside. It hits 100 twice a year. But we don't know our neighbors. So if you're going to start to be hospitable, let's start with this. Start with your spouse. Start with your roommate, maybe your kids. Clean off the table, invite them to the table once a night. Make the kitchen table the dining table, whether it's whatever your schedule looks like, whether it's for breakfast or for dinner, or just to gather together. Make it a place where community can happen first with the people in your home. Don't expect to be able to show hospitality to outsiders if you don't know how to show hospitality here. And you go, well, I still don't know how to do that. That's a great opportunity to host a Connect group because we can teach you. to lead a connect group, to learn, to apprentice in a connect group. That way, you can, at least you're inviting people from the church. So you know they're not perfect, but at least they're forgiven if they ruin your house. You know, that makes you feel a little bit better. But if you begin to do that, what happens is it's important that you're able to show goodness and welcome people into your home because your kids are watching. Other people are watching. We're all needing to learn because we don't have this example for us. Most of us, if we eat at the table, we are watching TV or on our phones. Or either we sit on the couch, we're sitting on our recliners, or most of the time we do go out to eat, and there's nothing wrong with going out to eat, as long as it's with community. You know how many couples I see go out to eat and they don't talk to each other? They have a more relationship with the server than they do their spouse or their friend. So this is the kind of a question to ask yourself. Are you positioned to have people over? If someone came to your house right now, would it be like, just 1 second? 3 hours later, okay, you can come in. You're like exhausted. Is your acquisition of stuff, there we go. Is your acquisition of stuff keeping you from being on mission in your home? When conversations have at a table, they're intentional and they're focused. Because you have to look at the person, right? Like, I love our council meetings with Tyler and other councilmen because they're at a table. Even big conversations my wife and I have, there are times we go to the table. We need to talk through this. When we have people over, I can think of a couple in our church right now who the past 2 years have gone through just terrible, terrible things, and a whole relationship went to the next level because we sat down at the table and asked Jesus to take control of their lives. And it just starts with hospitality. Romans tells us that we need to be a hospitable people. Jesus says, you may have entertained angels. Some of us, we haven't entertained anybody. Our homes must be the epicenter of celebration. So number three, write this down. So am I keeping from your notes or anything? You're good? Okay, cool. You want to take notes?
Okay. I'm the only one that comments on the YouTube videos.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Devote yourself to eating together in celebration. So my goal was to have food here with the two of you today. But didn't happen. That's okay. We do have burritos. Can you go get me 3 burritos? Now you know the secret. When you serve on a serve team on Sundays, you get burritos. Breakfast burritos. It's good to know, right? But Jesus was constantly eating with people and having an incredible time. Jesus was always at a party. Most of his criticism happened. Most of the gospel was talked about when Jesus was at somebody's house where? Reclined at the table. Hey, there we go. There we go. Man, we got Uber Eats and everything. Look at that. But whenever you have your table together, put some intentionality into it. Don't just say, here you go. See, when you eat together, if you're going to have a party, it's got to have a little bit of a flair to it. And the great thing is, and I won't go there, but when we build our, the first thing you got to do whenever you're thinking about creating your house to be a place on mission is building your home on a foundation of love and atmosphere of peace. That's what we've been talking about all through Giant Killers, is how to build a home that is based on love with an atmosphere of peace. But every party needs decor, right? We all need decor. So you need, and there's a reason why some people have more gifts of this for other, and you should decorate. Like, that's one of the things I love about Ladies' Tea, the dinner. You should go if you haven't signed up yet, because it's beautiful. You know what happens when you set a setting and make something beautiful or something fun? That shows value to people. So men's event, paper plates, there you go. Or if you have kids and your table looks boring, they're bored. You're not helping. So this is some of the kids made. It's a little turkey. That's our decor that's going to happen today. You place settings, you know, so here's, Aaron, I rated our shelf, so here's this. Okay, for your burrito, because you guys are messy eaters. You know, just in case. And then we got little beverages, so in case you want to, you know, some iced tea, some lemonade. Now, I am a typical guy. I did not bring napkins. A paper towel is right there. This fork isn't clean, just so you know. I'll take the. Yeah, you take the dirty. The dirty silverware. So you got that. We got a little place setting. You have to set the table for intentionality. You have to set the table like you want people there. And so it's okay to throw in a little something. Now, I was going to do a runner, and I was going to do like all these things. But again, that is not my gift, so you rely on other people. But even if you're not gift, this is why I went ahead and went with it. Even if this is not your gift, you can try. There's no excuse. I've always wanted to do like a man dinner and do centerpieces, but it would be like Legos. You know? Like, I thought that would be fun. But one of the goals in doing this, and I'll get to it, we got decor, we got breakfast burritos, we got food. But what if we created our kitchen table to be a place of celebration and not a place of correction? I can look back at my childhood, and dinner time was always one of the most stressful times. One, because I didn't like food, but two, I knew I was going to get corrected. What if this was a place where we say, hey, tell me about the greatest thing that happened today? What if this was a place of safety and of community? What if you played games at the table? I know 75 years ago, if I said this, they would kick me out of the church. But playing card games at the table. You know, like being able to play Go Fish or Hand and Foot or I don't know what the other games are. Or, you know, just to be able to play and enjoy having board games. That's one of the greatest things you can do as a family, because it's not a screen. Because you find out who the terrible person is who should never be allowed to play Monopoly is. I love God, I love people, but I'm going to take you out through real estate. This is where good conversation, stay away from questions are yes or no. Did you have a good day? Yes. Did you have a good day? No. This is so important for teenagers because you have to force them to talk. Ask them questions. What was the best part of your day? What was the worst part of your day? Tell stories. Be silly. Share your family history. I can't tell you enough. There are so many things we do at our kitchen table that we grew up saying you can never do at the kitchen table. Because before it was like, we have pristine, you know. I don't know if you ever told us this, kid. You know, we act like at dinner, like if the president was coming over. Like it was this like regal thing. It's because of Reagan, you know, like that whole thing. But like, it was just this like pristine, everything has to be perfect. You know, but no, have fun. Enjoy yourself. Share stories with you. I said just a little bit ago, your family history. Some of you don't even know where your parents come from because you never told them. You never asked. You never create that environment where you can share those stories about what you did in high school. Giving everyone a chance to talk and tell their story. You know, that's what Kids Life learned last week, the importance that they have an adventure story that God is doing in them that they need to share it with people. You know, your kids want to share. They just may not feel safe to be able to because they've never heard you share. To be able to, there's something that I'm guilty of. It's confession time right now. As a culture, we are saturated with false stories. They're called movies. Even the based on true events, but everything was changed. You know, when you grow up with that more and more and more, all you know is fiction, all you know is fiction, all you know is fiction. And when you hear something real, it still sounds fake. How many times do our conversations around the dinner table or at work or wherever we may be have something to do with somebody else's story? I'm so guilty of this. So did you see that TV show? Have you seen the new movie? Have you done this? Does that have anything to do with me? We are afraid to be vulnerable. What if we began to share stories and opinions and thoughts that were real? What if we made a choice to do something that would change our kids' lives for the better, for those in our family? Again, whether you're single with your friends and whatever it may look like, what if you shared real stories that mattered? The number four is devote yourself to pray together. Prayer is a visible example of your devotion and your dependence on God. Every person I've ever met are desperate for connection with people and with God, and prayer does both. I've never heard someone say, don't pray for me. On social media, I've heard that because it's not real. But prayer breaks down walls. Prayer paves a way for intimacy with God and among people. Prayer reveals your authority. Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes up to the hill. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. If your kids were to look at your attitude and your actions, and your friends were to look at your attitude and actions, where would they say your help comes from? Is it from the Lord or is it from the bottle? Is it from the Lord or is it from somebody else? Is it anger and frustration and stress? Or is it going to be from the Lord? But when you pray with people, I love this, is don't pray things that are going to push people in corners. Don't pray things like, Lord, help them not to be angry anymore. Yeah, that's helpful. How about we begin praying like, Lord, would you help reveal to them why they're so angry? And would you bring them comfort? What if you begin speaking faith and hope and power in prayer instead of loss and fear? What you turn to times in trouble is going to tell everyone in your home what to turn to when they grow up. My help comes from the Lord. Imagine as a family, when you got that bill that you couldn't pay, you came to the table and you grabbed hands and say, we're going to pray for the Lord's provision here. What if you and your roommate stop fighting and just take a moment to just pray for the things that are going on before you start having that conversation? What if people knew if they walked in your home, they were going to be welcomed, valued, they were going to have a good time, and they'd leave more empowered when they came? What if it's simply something like this, where you come around the table, you hold hands, and you trust God is bigger than every single person in that room and that at the same time loves them? It's very difficult to hate someone, to fight with someone, to speak poorly about someone when you just held their hand and prayed. God wants to do powerful things in the mission that is your home. Can we give it up to Nino and Tyler? You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I want to invite the worship team up. We're going to spend some time in worship together. We're going to sing two very specific songs. And it's Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here, and Build My Life. Everything that we talked about is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as we go into a time of worship, my encouragement to you, as we all stand together, Did this cause anxiety for anybody in this room? Okay. Anxiety / conviction, same thing. Okay. There is power in the resources that God has given you. Whether it's a one-bedroom apartment or a 10-bedroom mansion, or you're living with your parents, or whatever your situation is, God wants to advance His kingdom through your home. Right. And maybe it is as simple as starting at your dinner table. So as we worship together, we'll have the prayer request buckets up here. I want us to continue to be pressed into, Lord, I need more of You. I need to be covered and filled by Your Spirit. And as you do that, praying as we sing through Holy Spirit, and I know Jessica's going to give us more direction, I want us to intentionally have us go as we go into build our home, that is not just a song, that becomes our prayer. Because God wants to use you because you're wanted, you're gifted, and you're called. Let's worship together.
Thank you for listening to The Well Podcast. If you'd like more information or would like to get connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. You are loved.